Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I attended two funerals in two consecutive days this week. The first was Friday in Santa Rosa for Ted Vogelaar's mother, Joanne, who was honored particularly for her strong faith, which was expressed in how she lived her life. And that's something we can all hope for, that at the end of our life, people will point to how we put our faith into practice so that our faith becomes a living expression of something that we know in our hearts to be true. And that's easier said than done. And that's what this letter of James is so vehemently requiring us to do. Many people are not fans of James, including Martin Luther, who saw James' call to do as a contradiction to Paul's declaration of justification by faith alone. But I humbly submit that Luther was wrong, because the two complement one another. James was never claiming that you had to do anything to be loved or justified or sanctified, but rather that doing good works becomes a product of the love and truth that we know in Jesus Christ. That the truth that is born within us and is to be taken so seriously that we play it out in how we live, in the choices that we make. And Ted's mother did this. And she did it in how she loved her family, for sure. But this became especially clear to me at the end of the service when two younger women who work at the retirement home that Joanne and Ted's father live at, they both spoke through tears, more than any other speaker, about how Joanne would regularly visit the residents of the facility who were unable to leave their rooms, those who couldn't speak or even acknowledge her presence. She would visit with her Bible and her prayers and her hope that what she was doing was not for her. It was not even for them, but ultimately for Jesus Christ, which is what the letter of James is asking of all of us. It's asking is a nice way to put it. The letter is filled with imperatives and demands in the Greek. James is really hard to read because it comes across as highly moralistic kind of preaching. And to listen to God in the book of James is synonymous with obedience. Now, that's a word that we don't throw around very often in the progressive church. To obey God's commandments, to obey the law is to listen to God in a way that just doesn't leave us much choice. To preach obedience sounds like we've gone back in time or flipped TV channels to an evangelical kind of preaching. To obey God, especially to younger folk who may not have grown up in the church, sounds a bit archaic. But over the past few years, I've grown to understand this as something our culture is in deep need of. We are in need of being accountable to something greater than self, despite our feelings, despite our individual needs, and despite our own ambitions. And this became especially clear at the second funeral that I attended this week. This one I attended Saturday morning from my couch in my pajamas in front of the TV. And I'm sure many of you attended as well. John McCain's memorial at the National Cathedral was something to behold. I mean, first of all, the cathedral itself, it's an incredible just to look at it. And then the choir and the music was almost as good as ours. And John McCain, look, whether you agreed with him politically or not, he understood the idea of being beholden to something greater than self. And that line was repeated more often than any other sentiment by the people who eulogized him. And you have to ask yourself, Why was the death of this man made such a huge deal? I mean, not since Ronald Reagan has there been so much attention paid to the death of a political figure. Why is that? Part of it is because we have social media now. But I think the bigger part of it is because we're hungry. We are so hungry for decency and hungry for honor and hungry for a kind of code that requires people to put their political difference in its proper place, which is secondary to the decency and respect that we should be showing one another as human beings if we are to obey the greatest commandment, to love one another. And James says it this way: "You must understand this, my beloved, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." So James draws a distinction. It's so important. We can't manufacture justice out of anger for our own sake. Our anger lives in God's justice, which requires us to look past what we think is right and just and look instead to what God tells us is right and just, which is always for a cause, by the way. So all those times that you yell at the guy that's tailgating you, you're not participating in God's justice, so you can go ahead and just start quitting that. But you can also stop emailing me complaints about your neighbor in righteous indignation, and instead be quick to listen, slow to speak, and maybe rethink what you write in that email. And then James continues, "Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls." Wow, that's a mouthful. Welcome with meekness the word. To welcome the values of Christ in meekness is first to recognize our place, our own importance, which is so small in comparison to Christ who is implanted within us. So I hope this allows all of us to laugh at ourselves from time to time and not take yourself so seriously, because there is not one among us who is doing any of this perfectly, except maybe Mary Hill, who's always perfect in my eyes. And then James continues, "But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and then going away immediately forget what they were like." Scott Hosey says, "This is like looking in a mirror and seeing chocolate all over your face and then walking away and pretending that you never saw it to begin with." We have a responsibility to recognize where we come up short and work on it. And then James continues, "If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless." I've been thinking about that phrase, to deceive your heart. And it reminded me of being a child. Do you remember when you would play with someone and in order to get your playmate to do what you wanted, you'd promise them something in return, and then you'd say, "Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye." I don't know why that last part. But it never really meant anything. It was just a way of manipulating the other person to get to do what you wanted them to do. But James says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So if you're going to cross your heart as a religious person, it It's best to be pure in motivation and undefiled before God, because for James and for Christ, if you take any of this seriously, you have an obligation to do what's right, even though those around you, including leaders around you, may be doing something else. And James names the widow and the orphan, but he might as well have said, your fellow human being who is in need. Not those who think like you, or look like you, or practice your religion. Those in need. I was watching a show last night with Morgan and his friend on HBO. I love to watch what people in their 20s are watching, because it gives me insight as to where we're headed. And it doesn't matter what the show was or who said it. What matters is this was said. He said, we're all living in a time of tribal identity, when the only thing that might truly unite us is if a bunch of aliens showed up. And then we would finally realize that we're all human beings. We don't have to wait for aliens to show up. If we're to take what we're given here as sacred, we don't have to hunger for an earlier time. We only have to choose to live it and be an example. And when we start to long for an earlier time that understands honor codes and decency and doing what was right for God and country or a cause greater than self, we don't have to long. We just have to practice our religion, or dare I say, obey. McCain's favorite book was quoted a lot this week, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Now, the book's title is taken from the metaphysical poet John Donne's series of meditations and prayers on health and pain and sickness. And it was written while Donne was convalescing from a nearly fatal illness. And it was published in 1624, titled No Man is an Island. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's or woman's death diminishes me, because I am involved in humankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. We are hungry for this. In a world filled with selfies and Facebook and Instagram, we are hungry to be part of something beyond self, to be part of a larger humanity that means more than our own happiness. To be part of this human race is to be inherently born into something greater than self, and our responsibility is to allow our lives to be a reflection of honor and that privilege and that gift. So what are you going to do with this life that you've been given? Each day, each moment brings with it a choice. You don't have to be a great senator from Arizona, and you don't have to be eulogized by presidents or even have a full choir sing in memory of you. You just have to be a decent human being, because that's what God is calling us to be. And two funerals in 1 week is enough for any one of us to ask, how will I be remembered? What will it be what I say? Probably not so much. By what I believe, I doubt it. By what I hear the preacher say on Sunday, definitely not. By what you do, by how you make others feel, most certainly. I cross my heart, and I hope to die in this promise to all of you, that is, if your life is born for a greater cause than yourself, and you remember this, that no man or woman is an island, and that the bell tolls for thee. Amen.